Well, from Paris to the United States now. And yesterday, the New York Times reported that opinion polls in three key battleground states, Michigan, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, indicate a dramatic reversal of the standing of the Democratic Party since Kamala Harris replaced President Joe Biden on the ticket. Vice President Harris now leads former President Donald Trump by 4 percentage points, 50 points to 46 in each of the three states. The polls come on a week when Kamala Harris unveiled her vice presidential pick, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Let's go to Washington now and speak with Niall Stanage, White House columnist with The Hill. And Niall, good afternoon and thank you for joining us. Kamala Harris has been enjoying somewhat of a honeymoon in the media since she replaced Joe Biden on the ticket for the presidential race. How should we read these latest polls? Part of that honeymoon, or an indication of a real change in voter sentiment that might be more long-lasting?
I think a combination of both, and I don't say that to just fudge the question. There is clearly momentum on Kamala Harris's side. She has, as you have just alluded to, had a very successful or very positive first couple of weeks since President Biden decided he would step aside from the 2024 race. But the extent to which that is a function of her particular abilities or the function of Democratic relief that Mr. Biden is no longer on the ticket and a desperation to beat Trump, I think that's where it's debatable. I think it is completely possible that these numbers are being buoyed up simply by the desire to beat Trump and the belief among Democrats that they now have a real shot at doing so.
Earlier this week, of course, Kamala Harris picked her vice presidential nominee, Governor Tim Walz. He's a kind of a folksy former school teacher. He worked in a factory. He coached football. He's been trying to convey the idea that he knows small town America a lot better than either Donald Trump or his running mate, J.D. Vance. And I suppose fair to say that he's got off to a good start.
He has. He's got off to a very solid start. And as you say, he is really someone who I think has been chosen as a at least purportedly reassuring presence on the Kamala Harris ticket. You mentioned the fact that he was, for example, a high school football, American football, of course, coach. And she refers to him often on the campaign trail as Coach Walz. And I think that's part of this effort to portray him as a sort of a Midwestern everyman, someone who grew up in quite a rural setting, someone who is much more difficult to caricature as the sort of elite liberal, which of course is the frequent line of attack from conservatives against Democrats in this country.
So we have that partnership now, the Harris and Walz partnership, doing well in the polls, doing well in the media and on social media as well. And we saw Donald Trump try to respond to that in a press conference of his own on Thursday. It was kind of, I suppose, a widely criticised press conference in terms of the misinformation, the rambling and so on. Are we seeing Donald Trump doing something that he didn't have to do before, and that is fight for media attention, fight for visibility in this campaign?
Yes, I think so. All the soundings that I get from around his circle is that he is frustrated by the media attention on Kamala Harris. Now, of course, he also thinks that that attention is overly positive, and he famously thinks the media is biased against him. But the point is that Trump hates not being center stage, not being the center of attention. The news conference at Mar-a-Lago that you're referring to was pretty plainly an attempt to seize the spotlight back. Unfortunately for him, although it was his own fault, some of those more bizarre claims, like arguing falsely that the crowd for his speech on January the 6th was as big or bigger than Dr. Martin Luther King's for the 1968 I Have a Dream speech, that stuff just stirs controversy and makes Trump look, frankly, a somewhat ridiculous figure at times.
One of the things he did confirm at that press conference now was that he does intend now to take part in the television debate on ABC next month. What can we expect from that debate, and what are, you know, how big are the stakes for both sides in what I suppose will be a record television audience for that debate?
The stakes are going to be huge because that's going to be the real landmark or set piece as we go into the final stretch of this race. We'll see whether I'm right or not. I suspect Kamala Harris's numbers will come down very slightly, so I would anticipate that debate taking place in almost an exactly tied race. Obviously, that makes it all the more important. Now, predicting what happens in debates is always questionable. You know, some people, well, nobody really predicted that the debate between President Biden and former President Trump on June 27th back in Atlanta would be so catastrophic for Biden, effectively lighting the match that burnt him out of the race. But a Harris-Trump debate would be a huge event.
Niall Saanich, White House columnist with The Hill, thank you very much for speaking with us from Washington today. We're back with more after this break.